We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, it's Dom time. Good Thursday. It's always a good day when we can talk to Cheryl Atkinson. She had a big interview with the president, and this was weighty stuff. This wasn't the usual fare. A lot of it was about the deep state and the president at great length talking about that and some of the elements and what would happen in a second term, as I understand it. Cheryl's with us again in Philadelphia here on Talk Radio 1210. Nice job, Cheryl. That was a big interview.
Thank you so much.
Well, am I right, though, that that's the area, the most core, the most I saw from it, the president talking about the deep state with you, obviously recognizing your vast abilities in that area. I mean, this has been a big area of concentration for you over years now, since you were a victim of some of this.
Well, it's interesting because I don't think I asked a direct question about the deep state, but a lot of his answers kind of went to the heart of that, because when you ask about investigations into Ukraine and should they take place, and you ask about Biden and you ask about the FBI abuses, it kind of leads to that. And he did talk at length about that. And yes, he acknowledged that he seems to know or think that I have been, as he said, a victim of the deep state. I guess maybe talking about the government surveillance on me when I was a CBS News reporter. And, you know, I still have that lawsuit going against the Department of Justice and Rod Rosenstein and company for that.
Yeah, absolutely. What else was a big takeaway for you from Trump? How would you assess how it went being in the ring with him for a pretty extended interview?
I will tell you that compared to previous interviews, it's been about 2 years since I interviewed him, but I had interviewed him maybe 5 or 6 times before that. And it's interesting. I feel like I was kept away somehow for 2 years because I think he wants to do interviews generally when I ask, but I could not get through. And compared to the past, he had a lot more people around them. He seemed, as always when I've spoken to him, very relaxed. He looked good and healthy. You know, the press always talks about he's sick and he's sad and he's lonely and upset and all of that. And I never see any evidence of that when I'm in person with him. He seems very controlled, happy, relaxed. You know, takeaway is he has quite the command of a variety of topics. And I will say that I think people thought this somewhat about Clinton as well, maybe not other presidents so much, but Trump can talk about with pretty good command of the material so many different things, and he knows so much detail about things that kind of surprises me. So I think a lot of people might have thought he was going to be an overview president that maybe didn't dig deep and assigned people things to do, and instead I think he's really into the details of what he gets briefed on and wants to know a lot about the things, whether it's coronavirus or details of, you know, other news events that's going on. He knows quite a bit. And
well, I'm thrilled to hear that. That's my one experience with him last year in the Oval Office that I saw. He's a rambler on things and all. And when you contrast that with what's happening with Joe Biden, I don't think you'd ever get a Joe Biden interview. What's your assessment of where Biden is at this point?
I can't say I consider myself on top of that too much. I just don't know much about Biden. I've tried to watch, you know, his appearances like I do and did Trump. He is confused. He does seem confused a lot. But I will tell you that if you watch more of him, he's not always confused. And of course, the press plays up the times that he is, which is important. I mean, I think if he's confused somewhat frequently on simple answers to questions and all that, that does matter. But it's hard to say. I'm kind of anxious for him to get out a little bit more and be seen a little bit more in other settings to try to make a better assessment of Biden. When you mentioned Trump's meandering, you know, sort of answers, I thought something was interesting because I've always noticed that too. If you watch Trump, you ask him a question, he may start kind of there. He veers off almost with parentheticals and other stories, and then he comes back to whatever he started with. And I've said to my husband before, how does he even remember where he's going? Because if I were doing that, I wouldn't be able to bring it back around. And I'm always impressed he kind of brings it back around to the thing that you started with. Well, he told me after the interview, he does that on purpose. And the way he said it was, he asked me not to heavily edit him. And I don't blame him. People are worried when you edit them that you take out the essence of what they've said. And he told me that in a recent interview with David Muir, that his interview had been edited and changed the meeting or had been edited too much. Well, the problem is if he gives a 2 or 3 minute answer and you have a certain amount of allotted time, you can only get to 1 or 2 questions if you don't edit much. Well, I'm lucky because we got to use a whole half hour on him and I didn't have to edit. And he said, you know, they edited out at ABC my answers and it changes things. And, you know, I'd rather you not do that if you could help it at all, which we try to do that anyway in full measure. We have time. But he goes, I do that on purpose. Like he is saying that that's his style and he has a reason for it. And then he just said, just let it flow.
Oh, goodness. Well, there is transparency there. Sometimes he says things before his staff is ready for him to say them. That's the downside of it, I guess. I wanted to ask you, I was thinking about you when you saw this, that the former CBS news chief, he was there in, I think, 210 years for about 3 or 4 years in the early 80s. Wrote a piece this week that made a good bit of news, and essentially, Cheryl, saying that, well, people are going more and more left, they're more blatant about it in newsrooms, and they don't think anything about the business model. I mean, during this lockdown, the lowest rated entity, arguably, maybe even more than those that don't like what Trump is doing, has been the media overall.
Yeah, you know, I think if I read the sort of headline correctly on that, he was suggesting maybe it's time to just embrace the bias and admit what we are, each side, in terms of if you're at a biased news organization, don't pretend not to be, because we're too far gone. And I write a lot about this in my book, available for pre-order, if you don't mind me saying, called Slanted. Sure. I talk to a lot of news executives, top officials. Most of them describe themselves as progressive or liberal, and they voice much the same concern, and they don't like the turn it's taken. The traditional news guys and gals, but these happen to be mostly men that I spoke to, don't like the turn the news has taken, where we know where people stand, where reporters tell you where they stand, where you can't get a fair shot. I heard from a former top news executive at a network after my Trump interview, who is not a big Trump fan by any stretch. I don't think he likes Trump. He said that was a great interview because you got to hear his answers instead of him being debated. And, you know, he's debated so frequently that may serve the point of showing people, gee, I'll show the president and I'll make a little news about myself. But you don't really hear his unfettered answers and his thinking on questions when you do that. And that was my goal, to try to do something a little different. So back to your former CBS president, you know, everybody recognizes it. I don't know that the solution is just to embrace it and say we're too far gone, but it's widely recognized.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Fox News Channel, at least, they're conservative, but they're traditional America. That's the part that sets me off with some of these people. In addition to which, there has to be some respect for the office. You know, now, if the president is disrespectful in that moment directly at you, then I think you can counter in some way. But I see some of the news people, the National Press Corps, just outright disrespectful in addition to debating the president. The tone, look, if we were at the height of Watergate with Dan Rather and President Nixon, where things were pretty obvious. But on this, it's a matter of their opinion versus his during the pandemic. I don't know that their audience wants that. I don't think that's the model going forward.
Well, they're sometimes trading barbs to make a headline but not getting any information. And
right.
People are tired of watching when they'd like to get some information and make up their own mind. They may like Trump or not like Trump, but I don't think the reporter has to go prove how they think. And one of the big changes in news I've seen the last 6 or 7 years is a lot of people will say, why didn't you do the story about such and such, a story they already know about, let's say a negative story about President Trump? And, you know, why didn't I write about it, or why didn't I do it? Well, I'm one person. I actually write very few stories. I'm a specialist on very few things. I don't try to write about everything. I'm not a news organization myself. And they want me to write about it, I point out, so that they know how I feel, that I agree that something egregious happened, or that I don't like somebody, or I do like something. And I said, I don't write a story about something you already are perfectly well informed about, with no new information, just to show you how I feel.
But they, right.
That's what some people want now. Well, you have to write about this to show that you feel like I do, or that you see that Trump is whatever I don't like. And I'm like, well, that's not what I've ever done. I don't write stories just to kind of show how you feel. But people want that from sub-reporters now. I don't think the big audience does, but there's just a lot of sort of activist members of the audience who demand to know how you feel and demand to know that you cover things a certain way just to make news yourself so they can say, hey, you know, this reporter even said that or did that or doesn't like Trump or understands or challenged him or knows he's an idiot or whatever it is. And
yeah,
that's just not what
that's,
I've ever
that's
done.
A very good point. So a couple of things. One, where would we see the Trump interview and your weekly TV show first?
You can still see it online, fullmeasure.news, fullmeasure.news.
All right. And the book is coming out, the next Slanted is coming out in November?
Late November, and I'm trying to get a lot of pre-orders for people for Christmas gifts and gifts to people that care about the manipulation of media, the increasingly narrow universe of what we can find online with all the censorship going on. And I'll explain in the book why I call that censorship, even when it's not directly from the government. But this is a really scary time. I think we're going to look back in 5 years, if we're not careful, and say, boy, there used to be a time when you could find almost any information you wanted on the Internet. We won't be able to, because we will be aimed and shaped and told only what we can see and think. And that's
absolutely
what we're getting.
Yeah, that is the scariest of all. And how do we get the book? How do we pre-order?
You can just pre-order that anywhere, called Slanted, on HarperCollins or, you know, Amazon or any book site.
Very good. Cheryl, thank you very much. And again, thanks for a different and, I think, very good interview with President Trump. Fair, balanced, and allowing the guy to be heard, good or bad. That's exactly, to draw him out, to talk on big issues, is exactly what I think a reporter should do.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks, Cheryl. Talk to you
Bye.
Soon.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.